Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family: finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donlin and for Maria Bailey, and we are in the dog days of summer. If you are anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere, it is hot around most of the country. So I hope you are enjoying a time at the beach, time at the pool, or even as when we were kids in South Florida, my mom would basically turn on the hose in the yard, and that was your slip and slide, or your fountain was your hose. So I hope you're enjoying it. And ironically, and it was actually coincidentally, rather, it is National Ice Cream Month, and what an appropriate month for ice cream. It's just such a quintessential summer treat. So treat the kids and yourself with some yummy ice cream. And speaking of ice cream, interestingly, you know, we love Pre-Mama here at Mom Talk Radio, and they're a sponsor of the show. And Pre-Mama recently developed their own ice cream flavor, chocolate peanut butter. And if you check out Pre-Mama on Facebook.com/drinkPre-Mama, you'll see there's a picture a few days ago with the chocolate peanut butter ice cream flavor. And they work with the Rhode Island ice cream shop to develop this flavor. And they actually put the prenatal vitamin, the Pre-Mama prenatal vitamin, in the ice cream. So you're getting chocolate and your prenatal vitamin. Unfortunately, you have to go to Rhode Island to get it, but I'm thinking if they're smart, they'll distribute on a national level. But speaking of Pre-Mama, of course, you know that, again, we love it here. It's a prenatal vitamin that you drink. It's a powder mix that you put in your favorite beverage. And Pre-Mama has actually just had a big reveal, and because they have two new pill-free solutions that also cover fertility and lactation. So from beginning to end, if you're trying to conceive to having your baby and breastfeeding, Pre-Mama's got you covered. So check out drinkpremama.com. That's the website, and you'll find a lot of places you can find it, including CVS stores. Who doesn't have a CVS store near them with the, and especially the Extra Care? I love those, that reward program. But check out drinkpremama.com and find a CVS store near you. And it's also available online at cvs.com, amazon.com, and a lot of other online retailers. So do yourself a favor, check out Pre-Mama. And of course, the two prenatal vitamins that they've always offered, Essentials and Essentials Plus DHA, are also available in, actually, they tweaked the flavors a few months ago. And so, again, it covers every part of your pregnancy, from trying to conceive to having the baby. So check it out. And I want to mention that we also are going to be speaking with a fertility expert who's going to actually be our first guest. So speaking of fertility, she'll be talking about infertility, and she wrote a book called 22 Ways to Support Your Infertile Loved One Through Diagnosis, Treatment, and Beyond. And that's our first guest. And then we have a really broad range of guests on this show. We'll be talking to a former reality show host who, she hosted the show, Honey, We're Killing the Kids, and she's a dietitian. And we'll be talking about what's in our food and our food labeling. And then we're going to swing over to a singer-songwriter, and this will be an interesting interview. She took her passion for music to a higher level and created a organization called Talent for Humanity.org. So we've got a great show lined up. Again, thank you so much for joining us on this fun and informative hour on Mom Talk Radio. We have a lot of great guests in store. So with that, we will take a short break, and we will be joined by our first guest, Zahia El-Khoury, who will talk about infertility and a sensitive and often difficult subject for couples who are trying to have a baby. And she'll be our first guest after this short break.
Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
We are joined by our first guest, Zahia El-Khoury, who is the author of Don't Tell Her to Relax, 22 Ways to Support Your Infertile Loved One Through Diagnosis, Treatment, and Beyond. And welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Zahia.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a sensitive, delicate subject. It affects 1 in 8 women, as you say in your bio. You've got an impressive resume, by the way. I couldn't even, we'd take the whole segment talking about it. You are a writer in general and have contributed to many formidable works. So let's just jump into infertility, though, in your book. When did you write the book and why?
I wrote the first draft of my book in 2011 when I was trying to conceive a child after many, many years of treatments. And the first draft was honestly pretty angry. and then I recently unearthed it about less than a year ago and rewrote it as a from a more from a wiser, more mature perspective.
Okay.
Basically, I was on both. I've been on both sides of this dilemma. I've been the one suffering from infertility, and I've also been the one trying to help a loved one through infertility and saying things that are clearly not helpful in
right.
the moment, even though I know that it's what the experience is like.
Honestly, and I have friends as well who've gone through it, and you think you're helping, or you, sometimes you just don't know what to say. And so,
yeah.
And you hear all these wives' tales, and you start giving your information. It's like telling birth stories. Like, nobody wants to hear that, and neither does an infertile couple. Right?
It's so hard. It's so hard. Most people don't know what to say. And then when they do say something, it often is – everyone has their own relationship to parenthood and the idea of infertility and the idea of having a family, and you just actually usually don't know the right path for that person. So it's hard to know what to say.
Right. So, as I said, 1 in 8 women suffer from infertility, and I think, as you say, they feel alone. Why is that?
I think there are a couple of reasons. One is that I think just historically a lot of women do feel shame or embarrassment at the thought of not being able to do something that they think they should be able to do as women.
Right. Our bodies are supposed to do that, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Right. I think that's getting better, actually. I think the more people talk about it, the less shame there will be. But I think the other thing is that there are a lot of online resources now, and women are able to connect through those and in some ways feel less alone.
Right.
But sometimes they don't feel that same level of understanding from those around them, and that can cause them to feel more alone than maybe they would otherwise.
Right. So in your book, don't tell her to relax, which I love that quote. Where did you, is that a personal, somebody told you that when you were struggling?
Oh, certainly. And I am a part of all those online groups, and you see women are often told that. And I think it's mm-hmm. a very natural instinct to tell people that because as a person who's gone through it, you do tend to get pretty focused on it and intense about it. And of course, relaxing would be great for all kinds of people for all kinds of different reasons, but it doesn't actually solve infertility. And
right.
so it's not, it doesn't, even though that I understand the instinct is good, it doesn't really actually help the person and can often make them more stressed.
And interestingly enough, I read an article, this was a while ago, but because I had my last baby at 39, but mm-hmm. is it because we're waiting? I mean, my first at 32. So is it because I'm sure there's contributing factors as women, just the whole trend of even millennials who are waiting longer to have children and putting it off and having babies later in life. I know fertility drops significantly, I think, after age 35.
I think there's a big range. There certainly are a lot of women who are having trouble getting pregnant in their 20s for various reasons.
Right.
But certainly your fertility statistically does drop after 35 and again after, say, 40, 41. And I think that there's a lot I could say on this topic.
Right, right.
But I think a lot changes after 35. But you do have access to IVF,
right.
And IVF you have about a 30% chance of success.
Oh,
but
wow.
As a lot of women are sometimes a lot of women, many women are trying, say, in their 40s, that changes even more. Your statistical chances of getting pregnant from IVF go down even further.
Right.
I don't know if that answered your question, though.
Yeah. But yeah. So, and then we're also talking about as well, even if you have your first child, you know, you're like, say, early 30s, there's secondary infertility. What is that?
Sure. Secondary infertility is just as you suggested, the inability to have a second child after you've conceived and given birth to a first or any kind of subsequent child. And That is a real problem, and a lot of people are particularly insensitive, inadvertently insensitive about that, mm-hmm. because they have ideas about if you have one child, you should just consider yourself lucky and not be upset about it. But it's a very real thing. People have lots of different ideas about what their family is going to look like, and it can be just as devastating to learn you can't have a second genetically connected child as to learn you can't have a first.
Right. I understand. So tell us a little bit. So the book is called Don't Tell Her to Relax, 22 Ways to Support Your Infertile Loved One Through Diagnosis, Treatment, and Beyond. Give us a sense of what the book is. Is it more? Is it anecdotal? Is it stories? Is it facts? Is it just support topics? Give us your top two ways.
Sure. Well, it basically it provides concrete things to say instead of our instinct, the things we instinctually want to say, like don't tell her to relax. It gives you another option there.
Right.
Instead of, you might think, say, why don't you just adopt? And it gives you an option for what to say instead of that. Even just the phrasing of the words can be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also gives concrete physical things you can do to connect with your infertile loved one and to help them, like helping them raise money or taking them to a movie, things like that that are maybe avoid some hot button phrases or actions and actually steer you into a better connection with your infertile loved one.
We have about a minute left. So you have a website, Zahia El Khoury, it's ZAHIELKOURI.com. And where can our listeners find your book?
Well, the best way is to go to the book's website, which is donttellhertorelax.com, much easier to spell than my name.
Oh, that's okay.
And that'll have all the links to the different ways to get the print version and the ebook version.
Okay, great. We will also have that link up on momtalkradio.com when we post the show after it airs next week. And thank you so much for joining us and for this really great topic. And best of luck with, do you have any other books coming up?
Not at the moment. There are some in the works, but nothing that I can announce right now.
Okay, great. Well, we'll look forward to the next one. Thank you so much for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to be talking to Dr. Sheila Overton as we focus the spotlight on moms. We'll be right back. This is Marian for Maria on Mom Talk Radio, and this is my favorite part of the show, the spotlight on moms. And we shine it on everyday moms, such like you and me. And some have areas of expertise, like our next guest, Dr. Sheila Overton. Sheila is a mother of two and blogs at droverton.com. That's droverton.org, and tweets at the same Dr. Overton. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm really delighted to be here.
So you are an OBGYN, so you have a real passion for educating and advocating for teen sexual health. And it's a sensitive topic, and sometimes, you know, we want to just put our fingers in our ears and go, la, 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 you know, because our parents didn't really talk about it much. My mother didn't. My best friend had to tell me the birds and the bees. But you give seminars, give interviews and talks about how we can talk and deal with our teens about sexual health.
Yes.
And you've written a book. Tell us a little bit about the book.
Yes, the book is called Before It's Too Late, What Parents Need to Know About Teen Pregnancy and Teen Pregnancy Prevention. And it was truly a labor of love for me. I have been an OBGYN for many, many years. And what happened is back in the 90s, 1997, in fact, I agreed to take on a program at my hospital, and we organized a significant teen pregnancy and STD prevention program for parents and teens. And I chaired the program for well over 10 years until I left the hospital. It was an extremely successful program, and it allowed me to see just how very much parents wanted and needed information. They needed assistance in guiding their teens towards really healthy, smart decisions about sex. And so from that experience, I decided to write the book and felt that I'd like to share that information with a larger population.
Right. And did you have, obviously, there, as an OBGYN, you were asked to chair the program from your own background and experience. What made you pick that interval, that time interval? I mean, when did you write the book?
Actually, I didn't write the book until about 2000. I wrote it between 2008 and 2010.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was after I actually left the program, but it was working in the program with the parents and teens that kind of gave me the impetus to start thinking
right.
about the book, right,
mm-hmm.
to start thinking about writing a book like this. And then after I left the program, I finally had the time to
right.
to kind of sit down and put my thoughts together and put pen to paper. Yes.
When I was a teenager, it was more about teen pregnancy. And now, I'm not sure. I guess I need to read your book because I do have two teenagers. But
yes, you would find a lot of information.
Yeah, I think we're talking about STDs as being the real worry now.
Well,
correct?
I wouldn't say it's either or. I mean, they're two very different issues,
well,
but they're very much related. And
correct.
The way I would phrase it is that teen pregnancy is still a major problem for so many different reasons. But the thing is that we are doing better as a society. And we've had just tremendous strides in teen mm-hmm. pregnancy and birth prevention over the past two decades. And I can just tell you that as far as teen pregnancy goes, our rates have dropped about 52% since their
peak.
How
much?
52.
Oh, okay.
52%.
I knew it dropped, but I didn't know how much. So, okay,
well,
that's
dropping,
nice.
Yeah, pretty much every year.
Okay.
And that's been since the peak in 90, and of course, teen birth associated with that. But I would say there's no time for complacency. We're doing mm-hmm. better, but we still have the highest teen pregnancy rates of any industrialized country that's similar
really?
To ours. Yeah,
wow.
I mean, we have hundreds of thousands of girls still becoming pregnant. So it's a huge problem. It's just that we have some things to celebrate and that we're doing much better. But we've got a long, long way to go. So it's still a huge problem for our society. The difference with STDs, I would say, is that they haven't perhaps gotten as much kind of focus, perhaps, over the past couple of decades as teen pregnancy has. And so with teen STDs, the rates are going down, but some are not going down. And
mm-hmm.
so, definitely a big issue that we're dealing with.
Where can our listeners find this book?
The best place to find it is very well through my website, which is droverton.org, and it's Dr. Okay. D-R. They can also go straight to amazon.com. It's just a little bit easier to find the book from my website if there's
right.
a straight connection.
Thank you so much. I think we could do a whole show on this topic because it's very, very sensitive, but it's, like you said, it's so important, and we can't be complacent, I think, as parents.
One of the reasons I wrote the book is I wanted to speak to parents and let them know that they can lead their kids and guide their kids towards really healthy, positive decision-making. And so many of them feel awkward and feel uncomfortable and that they want somebody else to do it or that they're not going to do it
mm-hmm.
well. But there is, with information, a lot that they can do. And that's why I think where my book comes in handy.
Great. I agree with you. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Overton. And again, the website is Dr. Overton, droverton.org. And when we come back, we will talk to Dr. Felicia Stoller, who is the dietitian, former reality show host. And we'll be talking about what's in our food and how we can read our labels. Stay with us.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
This is Marian for Maria on Mom Talk Radio, and we're welcoming another doctor to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Felicia Stoller, who is a registered dietitian, exercise physiologist, and expert consultant in nutrition and healthful living. And she used to be the TLC reality show host of Honey, We're Killing the Kids. So we would welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Stoller.
Oh, my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. So obviously always a topic and foremost in most parents' minds are what we're feeding ourselves and our families. Tell us a little bit about your mission and you have a book as well, which I'll briefly mention, Living Skinny and Fat Genes. That's GENES, The Healthy Way to Lose Weight and Feel Great. Tell us what your passion is and what we could start with maybe the food we're buying in the grocery store.
Sure. So my passion is really helping people to understand that The healthy choice is the easy choice, number one, and that it's not expensive or difficult to eat healthy. And, you know, Hippocrates said, let food be thy medicine, and that couldn't be any further from, you know, that couldn't be any more real even, you know, in 2015. I mean,
absolutely.
People often just get really confused by so much information that's out there because there's lots of conflicting information, and thank goodness that's why I have a job.
Yes.
And I have a passion, and
yes,
it's taking everything and really just helping to not dumb it down, but just make it really simple for consumers, for parents. You know, I'm a mom myself, and so, you know, I always say whatever I'm talking about is what I'm doing with my own children. They're my own science experiment to see if everything that we learn in graduate school, my return on investment will be when they're in their 40s and 50s, if they will be disease free.
And I should have mentioned, obviously, you're a mom of two and stepmom of one. So you, how do you then practice what you preach?
I buy healthy foods for my family, you know, in the grocery store. We eat a lot of, especially now in the summertime, our local farmers market opened mm-hmm. up about a month ago. And so I'm there religiously. I'll be there later today buying our produce. And we eat a lot of plant-based foods, but we do eat animal products as well. And we use a variety of fats in our cooking. And so the other thing is that I really emphasize is having higher fiber foods. So when it comes to foods like pasta or cereal or breads, I try to find higher fiber products because if you're going to eat it, it might as well have some nutritional value. So fiber is a way to help lower cholesterol. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a little bit of a cholesterol myth. You know, people think that, you know, eating fat or eating saturated fats is going to raise your cholesterol. Dietary guidelines just need some modifications with saturated fat guidelines and recommendations. And so, you know, just want parents to know that, yes, trans fats are coming out of foods completely. There has been a loophole for many years, and we hope to see that go away. But so when people read labels, I find that they're often confused about, well, what fats are okay to have and which ones
right.
aren't. So if you see palm fruit oil, that's okay, because many years ago, palm kernel oil got demonized about being, you know, a fat used in movie theater popcorn that's bad for
right.
you. And the truth is it's actually good for you. Palm fruit oil is good for you. It is loaded with antioxidants. So when you look at it, it's got an orange glow to it. That is beta carotene. And it also has something called tocotrienols, which is really nature's richest form of vitamin E found in this plant, in the oil of the plant. So,
and you're saying palm,
you know, unlike,
like the palm tree, like palm, what did you say, palm
it's
seed?
A palm fruit.
Okay.
It's a specific type of variety of palm tree that has these big palm fruit, and I don't
right,
explain
fruits.
How uh-huh. they're huge. They're bigger. They're like bigger than a bowling ball, and they're prickly. And
yeah.
they're actually it's a steaming process that extracts the oil, unlike other oils. So it's a pretty clean process. It's highly sustainable too. I've been to Malaysia. I've seen it with my own two eyes.
So and that's palm.
I love
so-
about it. What?
If we see palm fruit oil on the label, we're okay.
Yes, it's okay.
Okay.
And as a matter of fact, it's found in things like Smart Balance. It's found in Nutella. It's found,
okay.
it's found in things like
right.
Lunavars. So, you know, I don't want someone to read it and go, oh, there's palm oil in here.
Right.
I can't have it. Absolutely,
right.
you can have it. And it's a great substitution for other fats that were being used before.
Right. So give us some other food label red flags or good white flags. This is bad.
Okay,
this
so
is good.
I'll give you something. So I was talking about fiber before. I really encourage people to look for foods that are higher in fiber. So looking for at least 3, if not 4 grams of fiber per serving
okay.
when it comes to cereal, when it comes to a slice of bread. I know that sounds silly, but, you know, you could go to a supermarket and turn around 10 loaves of bread that say whole wheat on it or whole grain.
I know.
And it would be very difficult to find one that really had at least three grams of fiber. Maybe 4. That's a little more challenging. But oftentimes people just look and see whole grains and they don't really flip it over and look at it. And then another common misperception that a lot of parents have is that they'll look at a food and they'll go, oh, it has too many grams of sugar in it, and they'll just put it down. But
right.
that food could be yogurt, and that could be like a nice yogurt, like not one that's got chocolate chips in it. It could
right.
be
my kid's
like
favorite.
100% fruit juice, right.
right.
So, you know that, you know, what's in there is carbohydrates that shows up as grams of sugar, and not
right.
all sugar is bad. In fact, we need that.
Oh,
if anything,
yeah.
I tell parents not to have non-nutritive sweeteners for their children. That, to me, is more dangerous than the high fructose corn syrup and the regular, you know, good old-fashioned table sugar.
White sugar, yeah. It's pure. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that was my next question. So then we only have about a minute left. So your website is Felicia Stoller, STOLER.com. Can we find the information you're talking about on your website?
Well, there's that stuff's not necessarily listed there. A lot of that's in my book, but, you know, people
can follow me.
I'm always posting on Twitter and Facebook and, you know, I'm always posting health information and this type
that's
of
great.
Stuff comes across, you know, my messaging all the time.
And so what are your social media sites then that you mentioned? So
it's
Facebook
and Felicia Stoller. It's just Felicia Stoller. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Pinterest.
Okay.
I'm on Twitter. I've got a public page on Facebook.
Great.
And I'm always posting health information up there.
Right. And from a mom who is a huge label reader and is always looking for, yeah, it is confusing. You're right. I mean, you can go down the aisle. There's 25 varieties of bread and I'm thinking, which one's the best one and which fiber, is it whole wheat? Does it all have all that fiber? So,
I'll tell you something that parents can do with their kids if they end up taking them to the grocery store, which we know can be a challenge.
Yes. Yes.
And that is that they can take the kids to the grocery store. My kids used to say, I want, you know, the sweet cereal. And I said,
right.
Okay. If you can find a cereal that has at least 3 grams of fiber in it, you can have it. And, you know, the funny thing is they could run up and down the aisle for half an hour and not find one. All the stuff with the fiber, the little secret is on the top shelves.
Right. Yeah. So there's a whole methodology to knowing how to grocery shop, too. Again, the website is FeliciaStoller.com. We will have that link on Mom Talk Radio when we post the show next week. Thank you so much for all the great information. And when we come back, we are joined by a singer-songwriter, Aliza Hava, who has transformed her passion for music into a passion for doing good for humanity. We'll be right back.
For busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
Marion from Maria today, and it is my distinct pleasure to introduce a creative talent, a singer-songwriter, Aliza Hava, who is a award-winning artist and has just founded the new indie rock band Eve of Eden. And you're based in Santa Cruz, so you're on the West Coast, and we're on the East. But welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Aliza.
Thank you.
Award-winning. We'll get that in a minute because you've won a really great, a really fabulous award for your work. But tell us your story of how you came to find your passion for music and performing, just a little bit of your background.
It really started when I was in high school and I was going through a very challenging time just growing up in an environment where I didn't really feel like I fit in. And I had always been inclined towards music. So what happened was I just found a used guitar for really just $20. A friend of mine sold me his guitar for $20, and I started teaching myself how to play. And when I did that, I found that I was able to really access a deeper place inside of myself that was very healing for me, and finding a way to express things through music that I couldn't necessarily express to anybody else.
Right.
And it was very powerful and kind of put me on a path towards my own personal healing and spiritual development. And then I learned about music therapy, which is a subject that I never knew existed until I ended up going to university and they had it as one of their majors. So I ended up studying music therapy, and that was kind of the beginning for me.
Okay. So that's how you've kind of made the bridge to taking your musical passions and making the positive changes in society.
Exactly.
Okay.
And even though music therapy is really a clinical thing, I kind of understood that music is therapeutic, even from a listening perspective. It's, you know, it's not just about taking it into the hospitals and, you know, clinics, but it's also about music as a tool of expression that can really help heal people.
Sure. So you are actually, so we mentioned at the beginning, you are award-winning artist. And so you have won the Human Spirit Award. Tell us a little bit about that. And when did you win it? And tell us about the award.
Well, the Human Spirit Award is given by an organization called Talent for Humanity. And they discovered me on the internet after hearing one of my songs about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And they reached out to me and asked me if I would submit the song into a contest that they were having. And I did. And next thing I know, they told me I had won. I was one of seven artists who won this Human Spirit Award. And so I was really excited about it because, I mean, it was just a beautiful idea, you know, to give an award, really honoring the offerings that people make to contribute to a better world. And the award isn't in the form of a trophy. It's actually in the form of having your story told in a book, which is a Talent for Humanity book that has just been published, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. So,
and that's the title? It's called Talent for Humanity, the title?
Exactly.
Okay.
Talent for Humanity, Stories of Courage and Compassion.
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations. And you were, as you said, you're only one of, you were one of seven who, you're an artist. It says, actually, I'm just looking at the website, some artists who are changing the world. What a great title.
Yeah.
What a great award for you to have.
It's a blessing. And it's also a responsibility.
So do you give us one thing you want to share to inspire to the world and to help maybe teenagers in the same boat you were in with, you know, finding your passion and talent and their spark?
I'm imagining that your audience is mostly mothers, right?
Yes.
Your mom
yes.
talk. One thing that I experienced was that, you know, growing up, I had a very challenging relationship with my mother. It was actually a very painful relationship. And on the one hand, taking those deeper emotions and putting them into music was very healing for me. Not everybody has that ability. You know, not everybody is musically inclined, but everybody has some kind of gift that right. they can tap into to identify their unique voice in the world. And so what I would really love to just share, you know, as an inspiring idea is that for mothers to really encourage their children to find that unique gift that they have and then to support them in nurturing it. Moms do that naturally.
Right.
Sometimes it gets overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really crucial to helping your kids identify who they are and give them a sense of self-esteem so that they can grow up feeling like they have a place in the world.
Right. That's great advice. Thank you so much for joining us. And Aliza, your website is Aliza, A-L-I-Z-A, Hava, H-A-V-A.com, and talentforhumanity.org. Can we find it? Where do we find some of your songs? Where do we find your music?
I actually have a new band. We're called Eve of Eden. My middle name is Eve. We're coming out with a new album this fall. So if you go to my website, alizahava.com, I'm building a new website now for the band, but if you sign up for the mailing list, I'll be able to send you information about the album that's coming out. And also on alizahava.com is a few songs from my first album, which came out.
Oh, great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. After the show, I'm going to go and listen. So thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on the fabulous award. Best of luck and continued success. And when we come back, we're going to close the show with Lisa Lin, who is a celebrity fitness and metabolic nutrition expert, if I can say metabolic. And actually, we're going to be talking about a timely topic for summer, which is sun damage and keeping our skin safe from the sun. This last segment of Mom Talk Radio, I am pleased to introduce Lisa Lin, a celebrity fitness and metabolic nutrition expert and the author of the award-winning book, The Metabolism Solution, Lose 1 pound a Day and Melt Belly Fat Fast. That's the second book I'm going to have to buy because it deals with weight loss that we've talked about on today's show. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Lisa.
Thanks for having me.
I'm reading your resume of where you're a blog contributor to Men's Health, Muscle Fitness, some great media outlets. So, that's fantastic because we're in the summer and because, we're in South Florida. So we're particularly aware and cognizant of sun care and sun protection against the sun, I should say. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what we can do over the summer and just about how you handle sun damage from your background.
Yeah, and you see, I'm a fitness expert. I think one of the things that's interesting is we all think that, like, having that healthy glow and being tan is, you know, they go hand in hand for sure. But
there's a lot that people don't know, and I'm actually a melanoma survivor that I'm on a mission now to help raise awareness and sunshine.
So when we talk about sun and being out in the sun, and especially in the summertime, from 20 years ago, let's say, I know when I was, that was when I was a teenager, I'm dating myself, but we would put baby oil on and go lay out on the beach.
Yeah.
And I cringe right now because I'm basically supporting my dermatologist right now as he takes pieces off my skin.
I did the same thing, and I actually had a lot of guilt and shame because of that. We didn't know back then. Not only that, we didn't need to know because our ozone, I'm about to release a book called Win the Fight, and I'm really going on the ledge explaining to people our ozone is really different now than it was 20 years ago. So while we were outside as kids all day, now you're outside for 10 minutes with sunscreen and you could really do lots of damage. Not to mention our whole, you know, everybody's bringing their kids up on the soccer field these days. All the damage is done from 0 to 10. And then, as you know, we're paying for it later.
Paying for literally and figuratively in my case.
And I wish I could turn the clock back, but
I know.
We can't. And I think I hear a lot of this now and it makes me just cry. Oh, my son has dark skin. Oh, we never burn. Oh, we have a base. It does not matter. Melanoma has no boundaries. And I didn't know what it was. I thought, you know, I expected to have skin cancer, to be honest. I love the sun. I'm a little bit addicted to it. And I expected it. But when they told me melanoma, I did not expect what I found when I hit the Google bar. And it's much more lethal than people realize. And most people, by the time they catch it, it's too late.
It's too late.
Anybody out there has a mole that you suspect is, you know, you're suspicious about it, ask the dermatologist to take it off. Don't take any chances. It's better safe than sorry.
Right. So when you mentioned your book a few minutes ago. Tell us about that, the new book coming out.
Yeah, I just wrote a book with the surgeon from Yale, the surgeon who operated on my leg, called Win the Fight. And we talk not just to melanoma survivors, but cancer survivors, because it's scary when you're told that. And this battle and this fight is won in your head first, because if you're operating out of fear, you can't take the steps you need to protect your health, like eating healthy. Like, for instance, smoking, drinking, sun use all flips the genetic switch. So even if you don't have the genes to get it, you can flip a bad gene into a good gene, rather, into a bad gene and get cancer. But you can also fight it as well with the steps you take every day by stress relief, eating healthy, proper use of exercise. We are over-exercising as well, and that also can affect our immunity. So it's a very holistic approach to cancer or anything that people are plagued with.
Oh, great. And when's the book releasing?
Day now, by the way.
Oh, good.
Any day. And it's a timeless message, because the truth is we're getting as much sun in our cars because of the ozone on a winter day, even in the north, as we are any other time. And so this crusade is just starting.
Your website is called lynfit.com, LYNFIT.com. And what can we find on that website?
Lots of fitness and fat loss advice, but you'll also now find what I refer to as my melanoma miracle and the book. And we're going to just keep starting with tips on what you can do to prevent it, as well as I traveled around all last year doing research on sunscreens to see what worked and didn't, and ended up having to develop my own because my life depends on that sunscreen.
Yeah, your own sunscreen?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a little like that, obsessive compulsive, turned over all the rocks, and actually with the doctor, put like 15 different sunscreens out and saw what worked and what didn't.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah, because obviously we have gallons of it because we're in South Florida. But again, it doesn't matter where you are. It's very important for everybody to protect themselves from the sun. And again, just like when you feed your kids healthy food, you need to keep their skin healthy as well. So great advice. Thank you so much, Lisa, and best of luck. We'll look for your book. And again, it's lynfit.com. And thank you so much for joining us for this this fabulous edition of Mom Talk Radio. And join Maria next week behind the mic for another great show. And check out momtalkradio.com and on Facebook and Twitter as well. Have a great week, everyone.